I'm pretty sure. It's okay. I'm pretty sure that last year we got up to, we did Pesach Matzah Maror, and then we did Bechol Dar Vadar. But I think that that's like the. First of all, we have to say thank you to Isaac for pushing again. Because without a push, I would just I would probably like Isaac. I don't know about you, but I would probably just meander into Pesach without putting any thought into it. And if you do that, you're really doing a disservice. You'd be doing a disservice to your whole family and a disservice to yourself. If you just kind of show up and flip through the Haggadah, you know, Erev Pesach. Yeah, exactly. You wing it. I mean, listen, we have a lot of stuff in our heads, but without developing a mahalach and really putting thought into it, into how you're going to, what you're going to present to your family if you're leading a Seder, and what you're going to use, what you're going to, if you're participating in a Seder, someone else is leading a Seder, you know, where you want your mind to be on the night of the Seder, without preparing for it, we always say, like, you know, you can't just show up. You show up to the party, you know, you're very underdressed if you just show up, whatever. Like, especially me, any party I show up to, I'm underdressed, right? We had all the time in the world.
You have the excuse to be like, oh, I'm going to my parents.
Right, exactly. Someone else is leading it, right. So it presents, last year presented a unique opportunity. And I think we as a Chabura, we put together some ideas about maybe how to engage with all different age levels. But put some thought into it. You know your kids the best. And you know who's going to be at your Seder the best. And put some thought into it, because if the Seder is the the train moving at 1,000,000 miles per hour, so, and you're the conductor, so you need to know where to drive it. You need to know how to get it to go, and you need to know, you know, the pace. You need to know your kids, and you need to come up with things that keep them engaged, not because there's a thing called the Seder that we need to keep them engaged in, but because there's a goal for the Seder that you need to get them to. And you need to get them to, and you should get there, you know, you get there as a family, is a very special thing. So yeah, so last year was unique that we got the opportunity to really do it quietly, everyone at their own pace, and you know, there was no I don't remember, there was no shul? I'm so confused. There was no shul? I remember it was complicated.
There was no mikvah. There was no mikvah, because there was no shul.
Got it. So
there was a treatment, you know.
So that was like the
But Treb, nobody's married there. Here they said if we have shul.
I don't know. So anyways, I was voting for some stuff that I put together last year. I'm not telling you could put this together, but just get your mind rolling. You know, you got to keep your kids engaged. The Haggadah is there's a lot of reading and there's a lot of stuff. So last year I did just figure out some type of reward system.
There was also no Haggadah and everything, because that was usher because
right,
of COVID.
Right, because if you touch pots, pots touch. So kibolo kach polka. So I made them. I bought them because they were at the dollar store, and I said, this is great, this is perfect, I can give these out. And we had Hashem loves you bucks. It's just an idea. And every time your kid says, oh, I have something to say about this or that, now all of a sudden they're engaged, they want to share because they know they get immediate reward. And think in your mind, as they're saying their gematria, you know, if you have a mahalach, so then it could also feed into it, right? Like, tie it in, bring it back in. And it takes some thought, and you got to be quick on your toes. But, you know, try to if you read through the Haggadah and you develop, you know, here's an idea that I want to get over to my family. So then if you develop that, then everything can really feed into that, and the whole Haggadah can feed into that. And you have to think, how does each part connect to it? So we gave out what we did last year. I don't know. I think I heard about someone said you have to give out something. Okay, whatever. Anyways. It wasn't my chiddush, but the chiddush was that I found these in the dollar store. Yeah, give out the nuts and the candy, right? But like, it's instant, immediate gratification, because it keeps them involved. It keeps them coming back minute after minute for more. So we gave these out, and then at the end, by Afikoman, they were able to come to the store. And in the store, instead of having actual prizes, because that could get complicated, I made coupons. And you just have to, all you got to do is, I wrote some coupons that you get soda from Walgreens, a fountain soda after school, a large candy bar, Shabbos cereal during the week if you have a family that keeps Shabbos cereal rules. Right? You could have 10 minutes on an iPad on a school night. We had coupons. You see, the only one left is... Yeah.
This is during COVID, 10 minutes.
This is on the school night. That's why no one took it. No one wanted to buy that. You know.
Oh, this is the leftover coupons?
Yeah, we had, you know, every family has to know what goes for them. But for us, you know, 5 minutes later bedtime is like Kodesh Kadashim, right? Because it's like very strict bedtime. So 5 minutes later bedtime is like five more minutes. Amazing. So anyways, what we did was, they had their money. And then by Afikoman, we opened the store. And they could bid on certain things. So we had like $25 coupons to Amazon. And so I said, okay, we're going to make it like eBay. I made like bidding. And I said, we'll start the bidding at four Hashem loves you bucks.
Wait, was your brother there?
And my brother was not there. So so we said we'll start at four Hashem loves you bucks. And we got the bidding up to, you know, like they were spending like 50 Hashem loves you bucks for $25 on Amazon. And then they walk away with a coupon that they can redeem afterwards. It also keeps the spirit of Pesach alive afterwards, because 2 months ago, my daughter... She pulls out from her drawer. She cashed in. She said, after school, can we go get a Slurpee? I said, no problem. You earned it, right? So it keeps that feeling and that energy from Pesach, the special energy. It keeps that alive. So come up with stuff. Another thing that I did last year, this was just, I think it popped into my head a couple days before Pesach, was to go buy like the most random things in the dollar store, like straight up the most random things, and then figure out how they connect in a very crazy way, how they connect to something about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was my theme last year. Like it should flow into some medrash about Yetzias Mitzrayim, something about it, anything like that. And then I told them they have to be watching, because at certain, I had the box next to me. I told them at certain times during the Seder, I'm just going to take something out of the box. I'm just going to put it on the table. And quietly, we're not going to stop what we're doing. We're going to keep the flow. We're going to keep going. But you have to tell me at some point why I put that on the Seder table.
You have to have the answers before.
So you don't, you laughed after. But you could tell them that's not what I was thinking, or you could give them immediately. But it just kept them looking, watching for weird stuff coming onto the table, right? It kind of keeps with the theme of the Haggadah, of moving the Seder plate off and moving the Seder plate back on and uncovering and covering. Obviously, they're all significant, but the simple answer is that you should keep the kids engaged, that there should be surprises and there should be differences, things happening. Yeah. So, okay. So the goal we have, now we're talking a little bit theoretical. If you want, maybe you could go back and listen to some of the stuff we talked about last year. We have the recordings. We'll put them in a folder and share them. But maybe the last 2 years, we had some really beautiful ideas as we went through Maggid. And that's really the focus of the Haggadah, is the Maggid. But the way I see it, like the point where we're coming in right now is the point of, is the switch from V'adata hayom to v'hashivos el v'avecha. That the whole Haggadah is like leading up, it can be quite intellectual, right? Depending on who's leading the Seder and how many gematrias you throw in. And, you know, it can be quite, I would say, you can separate it from your heart. So we're talking intellectually about cheros, about freedom and what that means for us. And we a lot of engaging in the brain, which is obviously very important. But I think that when you get right here at the end of Maggid, there's a switch, and the flow switches into the rest of the Haggadah, is your heart just opened up in front of Hashem. And you're just, you know, but like we start B'chol Dar V'Dar, right? The Chayav Adam Liro Sesatzmo.
Because the
Hallow
comes in there, because it's like,
It bursts out of you. It literally bursts out of the words of the Haggadah. You go straight from like what could be seen as the driest part of the Haggadah. It's like, if you don't say these three things, you're not Yotzei Dechavaso. We're like very cut and dry, which we gave some insights, I think, last year, right? Why it's not so cut and dry. But by Rabbi Gamliel, is like, you go from like the most, like, okay, now we gotta, you know, do our chiyuv. Everyone say it. Pesach, say it. Pesach, matzah, say it, right? You hold up, you don't hold up. Matzah, maror. You've now like reached the pinnacle, you've reached the top, and now just bursts out of you. If we're in this and we're experiencing this and we've gotten to the point where we want to get to, lefikach. Therefore, what's lefikach? Therefore, all the things that we were talking about in our brains, lefikach anachnu chayavim. So we have an obligation now to thank Hashem, right? And it like blows up with that, and it just flows. The rest of the Haggadah, really, seriously, the rest of the Haggadah is like, is action, chayuvim, and then davening. I mean, the The whole thing is davening and hallel and nirtza, song, singing in your family's tradition, however you do it, right? But it just bursts forth, and this is like really, I don't know, you know, they say like this is like the mochin de godless part of the Haggadah, where you just get like expanded, you're just like, you're blown wide open. At this point, your heart should be able to accept and express what you're feeling and what you've discussed and your whatever your mahalach in the Haggadah was.
So there's a sefer from Rav Chaim Palachi that talks about random shilas. So somebody said, like, ask the kashas, like, when Mashiach comes, what bracha are we supposed to make? It's like a pella, like he said. And so he thought about it, and he said, he thinks the bracha right here that we're about to make after Lefikach, that's
the bracha. Asher Golanu v'Golas
Avoseinu. Right, it's like, that's the...
Here.
He's like he made it. He realized that this is the. That's really what we're driving at. It's like that was very interesting.
What? No shachian?
Maybe also I don't know. But that's good. That's good.
Anyway,
that's good.
So it's like it's
the bracha Mashiach. It's like about to say the bracha Mashiach.
Yes, Hilchos of Mashiach. Oh yeah. You know, gave an answer.
Okay, so what's this Lefikach? Lefikach anachnu chayavim, therefore we are obligated. Therefore, I mamash think that whole word lefikach is like therefore. Therefore what? Therefore all, everything we did until now. Everything we did until now is leading up to this moment. Anachnu chayavim, we're obligated. Lehodos, lahalel, leshabeach, lefayer, leromim, lahader, levarech, la'alei, ulekaleis. Lemi, to who? Who do we praise? Lemi sha'asa lavosenu, vilanu, which now we're in this experience of lanu. Like we're like deep in. It's us also. We've made the Haggadah practical. We've made it applicable, connected to us. It's Lanu, as Kol HaNisim HaElu. He did all of these Nisim that we described, right? All of these things happened to them. It happened to us. It's everything we're experiencing right now. And now we go through, what is these five things? Hotzianu Me'avdos L'Cheiros. There has to be he took us out from being slaves to freedom. Yagon L'Simcha, sad to happy. Evel L'Yantif, from mourning to yantif, umeafela loor gadol, from darkness, from walking around in darkness to a great light, umishibud legeula, and from mishubadim, like we started the Haggadah with, to geula, the nomar lefanav shira chadasha, and we should say in front of him a new song, hallelujah. So what's a new song? What's that? What's a new song? We should say in front of him a new song. And then what do we say? Hallel, like we always say. the same hallel that we all mumble through or sing.
It's not the same hallel, it's Ben Chorin.
Yeah,
so what
it's all new because we're new.
All new.
It's new because we're new.
Like we were learning last night, no? Like you think whatever level you got to yesterday, right? We were learning last night, you have to do a tshuva on your original tshuva because every time you get to a new level, you realize how, like, before, how lacking. Like, you know, like how lacking your other level was. So even though you reached a new level, which means you engaged in tshuva and you took a step up the ladder, but like, where was I holding? That was like, look at that rung down there of the ladder, right? Look at how low it is. So,
a shir chadasha. Pretty much after going through it.
If you do it right, and it's not just repeating what was, you know, what you did last year, or just repeating, you know, what, you know, you could like literally do the Haggadah by heart, probably, right? So everything, it should always be like a Shira Chadash, to always find the newness in it, if that's the goal, if that's where we're getting to at Magid. So, I mean, that brings the Chiyuv, you know, full circle back to the beginning of Magid, is like, you have to develop a Mahalach, you have to have ideas to present, you have to have a place where you want to go, and I think that it's much more effective when they're not disjointed, right? The ideas are not they're not disconnected from each other. And it's not like each paragraph stands on its own. There's a flow. There's a reason why we're saying this paragraph. There's a reason why we're saying this pasuk. So, you know, Shira Chadasha, right? You come with a new experience, a new year.
But what part are we covering the matzahs, though? Do we know?
Oh, he says here the matzahs are covered right before the
Fikas. Whenever you pick up the cup, you close the matzahs. But I think this part of Lefikach, I think the dynamic with you and the kids changed. Until now, you're engaging them. And over here, you're showing them your own experience. It's very hard to engage somebody and cause them to have an experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't make somebody have an experience. You can show them your experience.
So you've given them the tools.
Right. Now,
before, now.
Right. Now you take a moment before you rush into the Lefikach and visualize and re-experience. and have that experience in a very open way, and show the kids the experience. You can't.
There you go.
That's the that now you now you're showing them. So really, it's like, you know, there's not. I don't know. At least that my father's Seder is like this. This would flow, you know, just go right. There was not, even though everything before we stopped and we read in English, we read in Hebrew. There was a drasha and whatever, but like this is like was
it's
like
experiential.
This is experiential, right? Exactly. This flows much more. I think that's why it's much more connected. I see it as much more connected to your lave. This is like your heart just flowing out, And we do now. We say halal. So now you matzah uncovered, and then you put down the cup after lafita. That's what he says here.
Every time you pick up the cup, cover the matzah.
Those
you put
are
down
two
the cup.
Opposites: the cup and the matzah.
Yeah.
Notice the pattern.
Yes, basically, yeah, along those lines.
Well, sorry, I don't know, maybe you talked about it in the beginning, but what's the point of all this, like, well, what's the, maybe anyone have, like, interesting thought. What's the concept of all those weird things within you that said it?
Oh, what, matzah? Covering? Well, uncovering?
Matzah,
this stuff?
Like, the, oh, it's which, just like...
Well, the matzah's uncovered because it's lechem shayin al
dvarim harbi. Everything is pretty much very, very weird.
Ask questions.
We have, like, this... plate with all kind of food. I don't even know what they call it, you know. All kind of weird stuff.
She's 100% right.
Every time, every house has their own like
and,
weird
and all
stuff
of that.
They do. I heard you saying like, oh, you're doing like whatever, and everybody basically
you
out,
have
like,
your thing, right?
Sticks,
right?
All kind of weird things they're doing. Like, I get it, okay, you gotta keep the kids awake and everything. Oh, we sing money.
That was the excuse we came up with. That was the scam.
Well, I wanna just.
So what do you think? So why is like why
heard,
is this holiday?
Tell
so
the truth, I heard last year something fascinating was for me was a big thing. My uncle asked us to. He said that all the kids need to ask to sing the Manishtana, and the adults need to come up with a question that everybody gonna get upset. You know, everybody gonna ask, oh, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like something like that.
Yeah.
So whatever, we all thought like on questions and then I came and asked him a question and he was like, and he looked at me and he said, oh, it's a good question. And then continued and asking, one second, pause. Well, what do you mean it's a good question? Like you asked us to ask questions, let's try to answer the questions. And he told me a very important concept. He told me, Leila Seder, it's the night of all the questions. It's not a night of the answers. You need one day of the year, you need to understand that you have questions. You don't, not every question you have, you necessarily need to have an answer. Like, you need to value how valuable is the question, you know? So we're doing all kinds of things. All the kids asking questions. And
get the test. So they should ask.
So they should ask, but it's not you're not necessarily, it's not about answering the questions. It's about making people ask
when
questions.
You're asking, you're engaged.
You're engaged. Right. Yeah, so it was very like, this was.
They
because
hear?
Because really, answer, it's something, it's way more complicated than question, you know? And when you got like, to a point, you know, where you can ask a question, not necessarily mean you reach the level where you can answer the answer, you know.
Okay.
So it's,
I really like that.
It's I think it's a good, it's important
about it.
To know, you know.
And somebody asks you a question and immediately like, this is the answer. You're like, well, that question was bad. And I was like, you know, I really want to think about that. I really want to like get into it and like figure that out. It's a really like, also your question becomes so much more valuable. You're like, solid question.
Could also, I've seen people like if you're like if you actually want to think about it and have a discussion about it, but you'd what?
No, I was gonna say that's why I hang out with Ari. He's always like, oh, I'll tell you later.
That's not true. That's why I blue check him. I'm thinking about his question, making him feel good.
I saw by my father. He would, you know, sometimes you get a question that you realize is like it really is a good question. Not sometimes, a lot of times, in the middle of the Haggadah, but it's just not the place, not the, like, it's just, we got to get somewhere, we're in the middle of something or whatever, it's like, we got to get somewhere. It's a good question, you can bookmark it during the Suda. You know,
right, there's a way to not answer a question also, meaning there's a way to blow off a question, right? And then you're not making the person ask the question feel very good. you have to be careful how you not answer the question too.
Right.
Which is what you're saying.
Are excellent at saying, that's a question.
Exactly.
Not a shower.
But remind them to bring it back up at the Suda is a great time because, you know, we're going to talk about it when we get there, but somehow this Shulchan, somehow Shulchan Orech has to be, it's one of the steps of the Seder, right? So somehow you have to be an expert, right? A Bucky, we say that's the third thing you have to be a Bucky in, right? Is making Shulchan Orech part of your Seder. That it's not just a meal, right? That it's not just a meal, because if it's just a meal, then it wouldn't be, we would just have it, maybe at the end or whatever, but here it's like, it is part of the Seder, it's one of the steps of the Seder, so you have to figure out how to do that. So a good way to do it is to keep things that you were talking about before, is questions that came up, is to bring them out during the actual Suda part. Okay, so we launch into Hallel, but if you look, take the bird's eye view here, this is really only the beginning of Hallel. Right, only the first two paragraphs, and this is Hallel HaMitzri, right? Is the Hallel on Mitzrayim? It's different from the Hallel that we end with, or the continuation of Hallel. The what? What's the difference when we have actual Hallel section in the Haggadah? Here we're saying Hallel, but it's not in the Hallel section, right? And so to understand the difference, you have to realize, and it really puts you in a frame of mind.
The Hallel over is here. Split. First you do Halukah, but taste the straw, and then you stop, and then you eat. And then you do the head. And then you do Lailani.
So first of all, understand big picture, that really this flows into Hallel, into the Hallel section of the Haggadah, which is 15 pages later, after a meal, after matzah, after maror, it could be an hour later, right? It could be 45 minutes later, but it flows in, which means that
it could be hours later. Usually we just going to make it. Oh, I gotta make it for a chatzot.
Oh, you gotta do chatzot. So here. So what's the deal? So first of all, Hallel itself is a collection of
Tehillim, right? Those people missed the whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
No. We eat there.
This is a Maggid Hallel. This is Maggid Hallel.
Learning the Hallel.
What
he just said, this is Hallel Mitzrayim. This is specifically connected to what we just experienced.
It's like, I know, but
the end is more a broader, once we've experienced it, we say Hallel. But this is the ongoing experience, Maggid, we've just gotten out. Right.
By the way, tell me if I'm correct. On a regular Hallel, because you have a bracha at the beginning and a bracha at the end, you're not allowed to talk in the middle.
Right.
It's one long thing. Hallel is one long thing. Right? Maybe you could play musical instruments, but you can't... Right.
The Hallel that we're saying at the end is not part of the experience as ongoing that we do by Maggid.
No, I'm saying if we don't say a bracha, we can now split it. It's just regular...
Did you answer that?
No, that's what I... Like,
right, but that's what he was saying, that these exactly two are connected specifically to Mitzrayim.
Yeah. These ones talk about
Mitzrayim. Mikimi, male for a doll.
Right.
He raised us up from nothing. He brought us, right? And Betesi told me Mitzrayim. Those are very specific to the experience. Good question.
Thank you. Oh. This is going back. This first part of Hallel really is, the view is looking back. And looking back on the experience that we had in Mitzrayim, the experience of becoming a nation, the experience of Kriyas Yamsuf, the miracles that took place, everything that we just discussed.
That we just had. The experience we just had.
Right.
Why don't we say like Oz Yashin at this point or something like that?
Right. So that's because that's us. That's all forward looking, right?
It's also day seven.
That's more for the end of Pesach, but even the stuff we say later on in Hallel, hopefully we'll get there this year. But the stuff that we say,
no rush.
Okay, maybe we'll get there next year. But the stuff that was fine, that we'll talk about it now. But the stuff that we say by Hallel there is all really begins. It takes our experiences and then focuses them on the future. Right? On that, I'm going to live my life this way, that every moment I say, you know, Hodul Hashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasdo, we say a Nishmas, right? There is sort of taking you into the rest of the year, or into the future, taking that koach. But this is very much in the middle of Maggid, connected to Maggid, meaning in the paragraph, in the section of Maggid, looking back and saying thank you to Hashem for that. What do we say over here in this Hallel?
I mean, we never have a chance to stop and look at these Tehillim, these pieces of Tehillim, right? What do we say? Haluka, halu avdei Hashem, halu Hashem Hashem. So we start off avadim, right? Start off avadim, which is what we just got out of, right? Of avdus, but we understand that the real avdus is to Hashem. So we start our halal with understanding our place as avdei Hashem. As
we've just become avdei Hashem.
Right, exactly. That just we just happened. Transformed, right? That we just transformed. That was the transformation of Mitzrayim, is to go out from avdei Paro to become avdei Hashem. Yishem Hashem Mevarach Me'atav
Yadolam. Maybe we wouldn't have chapped what it means to be an Eved Hashem if we weren't first an Eved.
Kor HaBarzel, right? Like, that need a clarification. Process, something needed to happen. Process.
Like, you just don't get it. You just don't get what it means to be an Eved. Like, we have no concept of these things.
Right. Right.
Until you have it, and then it's like, that's what it means.
Right.
It doesn't mean that just spend like 10 minutes a day, you know, whatever, doing the mitzvahs or whatever, wrapping the tefillin. It's an Eved. It's real Avdus. It's a 24/7 consuming thing. It's like you don't have the concept of Avdus until you experience what Avdus is.
And then who are we in Eved to? So Mika Hashem Elokeinu is a beautiful line. Mika Hashem Elokeinu, they're all, every single line is beautiful. Mika Hashem Elokeinu, Hamagbihi Lashaves, right? Hashem who's like Hashem, who's all the way up there, right? Gavoha, he's high. He's all the way, sits up there, right? And then what does Hashem do? Mashpili liros bashamayim avaretz. But he's still looking at us, that we have even down here.
Lowers
right?
Himself.
In Shafel.
The higher, the lower.
Anytime you find Hashem's...
Malcolm Shatter, right.
Anytime you find Hashem's Gedula, there you find his...
And the Sanusa
Shal Hashem, right? There you find the fact that Hashem's connected to even the low, to especially the low, that Hashem's there sending messages to that person, just come back, right? Mikimi me afar dal, raise me up from the afar, from the dirt. Me ashpos, from the garbage. Yarim evyon, that's where Hashem lifts up people from the garbage, from the ashpos, from the ashpa. Right?
My
Ashpos Yarem Evyon.
What's the Ashpa of today, huh?
What's, I don't know. I don't know.
Wasn't this part like of a Likute feel like something where Hashem comes down to like your level or something? Like,
yeah, we learned about that. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Likute Alachos, right? About the fact that Hashem is there with you. Hashem is there with you in the dark.
The needy, especially.
The needy, in the dark, right? In the dark, Hashem is with me. Right? Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's really, you know, in a big way, that's really how the entire life is darkness, right? Meaning, obviously, we have periods of enlightenment. But in the end of the day, we're tasked with channeling our human energy and our animalistic side and channeling it towards Hashem. So it really is like, you know, like they say, you know, the blind guy, right? The blind guy is like feeling around. It's complete darkness life. But we have the ability with when we let our neshama express itself and we let our spiritual side come out. So then we have the ability to open that up and to really bring light into our own life. Lahoshivi im nedivim im nedive amo. We have to understand that we are the nedive amo. We're the princes. We're the princes. We have to understand everyone at the Seder should have this feeling that they are the princes of Hashem. Moshivi akeras abayis im habanim simecha haluka, right? So it starts with an avdus. Who's the mommy here, right? Im habanim simecha. What it means, he takes a akeras, he takes someone who can't have kids, and he turns that person into a mother of children who is happy, who's joyful, a joyful mother of children. So what does that mean? What does that mean, Pasha Pasha? Just Pasha.
Can turn any situation around.
Turn any situation around, even from an Akeres, as someone who's barren, can't have kids, right? You could do that and flip it around. But you start as an Eved, you start the paragraph as an Eved. Understand that that's the context of our relationship, the overwhelming context of our relationship. You finish what? Banim. Right, you finish with some concept, some way we're Hashem's children. Right.
Also princes.
And princes.
Right.
Hashem's children. Not only Hashem's children, but he's the king, which we started Eved, and we're the Eved, right? So who is we're not only the Avadim, but we're the princes in the palace, right? And so there's an ending here about a joyful mother, to understand what that means. Okay, that's homework.
And what are the stories? The
Lost Princes.
The the lost princess. Is that what it talks about? No, there's a few stories, but there's one story where like we took a play on the idea of like the people switch places and
oh yeah,
the prince was really became an Eved.
It's a different one.
It's a different story. Whatever.
Okay, that's
like a.
That's,
it's funny, it's not even like a steer. Like a prince is technically like, you know, high and exalted, but he also still needs to serve the king.
Right.
So it's still,
he needs to know his place.
Still both.
Like he needs to know his place, right?
A standard prince would still be an Eved to the king, but also...
But also a prince.
A prince.
Very good. And then we get the paragraph, but Beis Yisrael Mitzrayim is really just, you know, I mean, just the beauty of this, right? Beis Yaakov Me'amlo is Haisa Yehuda L'Kadsho Yisrael Ma'amshalosav. Yehuda and Yisrael. Hayam, Rav, Ayanos, Hayardin, Yisov, Liachor. We describe the fact that Hashem has complete control over nature, which is one of the main themes of Mitzrayim and the Haggadah. Haharim, Rakdu, Ke'elim, Gavos, Kivneitzon. We put these beautiful words talking about the mountains, just crumbling, falling away, running away. Malacha, Ayam, Kisanos, Hayardin, Tisov, Liachor. What did you see? Right? Why did you do that? What happened?
You're breaking up the very concept of the essence of who you are. You're changing your mitzias of mayim to be cohesive.
Right.
And I was just reading one of my kids' thing about what's the nature of water in space. In outer space, they have an attachment to each other. Its natural state is always to be glue. It's like gluey, whatever, to itself. So they form like globules in the air that in like. They don't just like it's not a mist. It's like
it's vacuum. They still connect.
They connect. They go to each other, right? They'll wrap around anything because they click to each other. That's the very essence of their nature of the water is to be together, and then it's like split. It's like so. What did you see to like go so against your essence?
Against
your
everything that is you.
Everything that defines you, right? Exactly.
And what's the answer? The answer is Milifnei Adon Chuliaris Milifnei Elokai Yaakov from. From, you know why they did that? Like, what did you see, right? Like, what happened? Because there's an Adon, because there's a master, and there's a creator, and there's the one who runs everything. This is the whole idea of the Haggadah coming to a peak, right? Ha-hofchi hatsur agam mayim. He could turn the rock. He could turn a rock into a pool of water, if he wanted to. Chalamish l'mayinu mayim. Right? That he could turn that deep rock, deep piece of rock, he could just turn it into just water coming out of it, right? Like if Hashem wants to do
which
that,
he did.
Which he did, right? Yeah, we have historical precedent for this, right? That Hashem could do that. Okay, next week we're going to get into this bracha because why is this the bracha on everything that we just did? And it's really the flip. The bracha is the flip, the connection between looking back and looking forward, right? Like looking at what we just experienced, what we actually just did coming out of Mitzrayim, and how that's going to propel us into a yearning for a yearning for a time of clarity, a yearning for a time of ultimate cheiros. And that's the bracha really gets you there. And we never have a chance. Like when you get here, it's already like you could hear that, you know. Could smell the matzah, you know, getting warm in the oven. So, they're already bringing the cup over there. They're already filling it up. Everyone's already steps ahead. But this bracha here is the, if this is the bracha that we make, so then contained in it is really could be some of the focus of Magid and of the next parts of the Haggadah also. So we'll get there.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, beautiful.
Okay. Got stuff.
Let's hope now we're gonna become real nechorim.